We are now joined by our featured guest this week, actor Daryl Larson. Daryl, how are you this fine, fine evening?
Featured.
Hey. Hey, Daryl, Tim Spangler, you're on the air with The Bigger Picture. How are you?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
No, great. Glad to have you on.
Listen, you forgot about the wall.
The wall, of course.
Well, he didn't get the funding for the wall, but he doesn't need funding for the wall, right?
I thought Mexico was going to pay for it.
Mexico was going to pay for it.
My favorite plan was that they were going to, the El Chapo bill.
Oh, that was Teddy Cruz. He was the one who walked up. That we're going to bust these.
What was so great about it was here's a guy who tunneled under walls. He's famous.
And now he's going to pay for walls. That'd be great. That would be great. So we've just finished 100 days in Trump's America. How has it impacted you, Daryl? What's your verdict on it all?
Well, I don't know if I have a verdict, but I mean, I was listening to your conversation about the media.
Yeah.
And the media shouldn't go after candidates. But this is not that. This is a guy who is assaulting our Constitution and the very ideas of democracy. And every voice.
I agree with that completely. Okay. But my point, and it is something that I think we're going to have to wrestle more and more with. The media does have a sense of self-importance. The media does not represent all political views. The media it represents a segment of views. But
what do you mean by media though? Because is Fox media?
Well, exactly. Fox is the most watched news program in the country,
but it's totally political, and
of course,
slanted towards.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
No. I'm interested because this is the thing that I wrestle with. What I have a conundrum with is when people in the media feel that their job is not just to inform, it's to advocate. And I think once you move away from being a means for the transmission of truth or fact or trying to arm people to make decisions, everyone becomes a Bill O'Reilly. Rachel Maddow is a Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, yeah.
Saturday Night Live is now.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, and then
Donald Trump.
Polarization.
And Donald Trump should be able to sue them.
Well,
for saying the things they say. Open up those libel laws.
Why should he?
He should be able to sue them.
No,
I don't think so.
Wait.
That's what he said.
He has said that.
Yeah, I want to back up a story.
Yeah, go ahead.
That originally, there were no. You couldn't report what was said in Congress.
Yes.
If you did, it was treason. They put you in jail.
Right.
Under the John Adams administration, he rounded up everybody. Anybody who spoke against his policies were put in jail.
The alien and sedition law.
Right.
So we had to fight for the right to even hear what they had to say.
Right.
To even report this at all. So I think it is part of the responsibility. And there were opposition papers.
Yeah.
And there were advocate papers during the Adams administration. He just rounded up all the opposition papers.
Well, exactly.
So I think we had to fight for it. And it is a completely new world. It's the end of the world as we know it. It is a new world. But, for instance, I do theater.
Right.
I think it's much easier on our end. I've always done political theater. That's what part of the work is to reflect back at human beings how to be better human beings.
Absolutely. Right.
And so the play we're doing right now, the Gary plays at the Atwater Village Theater, opening next weekend, the Gary plays, it's six plays, it's a whole set, a whole series of plays, but the environment and what we're doing to the environment and the fact that the world is burning is a motif throughout the plays, and it's one of the reasons, I mean, I would have done this thing because I love the people involved,
right.
But it is incentive to put my time into it, to put my talent into it, because we got to do something.
No,
and so I think the media should advocate for that.
But this is the point in America. We create the story, and you can't do both. I spent, as many of our listeners know, I spent over a decade living in London in the UK. The media doesn't play around. The media makes it clear. When you pick up a Guardian, you know exactly what that newspaper's position on almost every topic of the day will be. When you pick up the Daily Mail, well, it's more transparent because you can't. This is my point in the States. You can't have it both ways.
No,
you can't.
We retain the pretense of objectivity.
Absolutely. So on the one hand, you're
that's over.
Yeah, but yet you're still highly opinionated. We know where the New York Times is going to come out. Right. We're not surprised when the Washington Post or the LA Times slams the Trump budget for something like this. We're not surprised. But yet we maintain this fig leaf, oh, we're objective. Let's just say this is a left-wing paper. We support left-wing causes if you're a left-wing person.
I don't think the New York Times is necessarily a left-wing. It's all the news is fit to print. It's the facts. Let me give you another example that I just heard about. It's disturbing. They're saying that that the whole idea that there's more hate crimes,
right,
is a lie. That they're just saying that to make Trump look bad. So what's the media to do at that point? The media has to keep saying that it has gone up 50% in Philadelphia. That it's gone up. We have to, don't we? Don't we have to insist on telling the truth about that kind of stuff?
If you have fact, absolutely, absolutely. But
how are you defining hate crimes? And is that a rolling target?
Yeah, exactly. Then the issue is, how are you defining hate crimes? Is the definition of hate crimes in Philadelphia under the Pennsylvania law is the same? We did have a number of cases in the days, and this is also a fact. We had a number of cases in the week following the election of falsely reported hate crimes. People claiming that my hijab was ripped off my head. Well, there was video.
There was video
in the subway. It didn't happen. There are people who reported that they had slurs yelled at them, but there were witnesses nearby, and it didn't happen. Now, I'm not saying that every single reported hate crime is not true, but we have to focus on the facts and reporting facts as facts. That is, I think, the foundation.
It would be helpful if the president did the same thing, but he doesn't.
No, and now we have the president who is, you know, fanning the flames of alternative facts. We have the media that's more overtly campaigning. I mean,
we've got to do something to stop the gun.
No, but this is fine. That's not a bad sentiment. But the way you stop the guy is in the by-elections and in 2018, and by using the constitutional methods to power goes back and forth and back and forth. If Trump is as ineffective as the newspapers say he is, if his poll numbers are as low as they say it is, he will lose the 2018 midterm election, and the pendulum will start swinging back the other way. Now I want you to say one last thing, Daryl. This has been great conversation.
Oh, thanks.
Usually we get actors and actresses on here that just talk about, well, when I was on Love Boat in 1979.
IMDb, what the heck?
Exactly. So give us one final hard sell on this great, great play that you're in.
Well, this is a unique opportunity to see one of the greatest playwrights alive. This guy has been consistently, he's written about 70 plays. They're all brilliant. When I first worked with him, it was on a project called The Coyote Cycle, which was 7 plays based on Native American stories. We did them outside. At one point, we did them from dusk till dawn, several times. Mm. So he loves these long cycles of plays, and this is actually a reflection of the Coyote plays. It's called The Gary Plays, and it's about an actor in L.A. trying to, you know, survive. He's kind of an idiot, but he does the best he can, and it takes 6 plays. And if you see them on a Sunday, you can see them from noon till 10.
Wow, that's a lot of live theater.
Yeah, but I'm telling you that the acting is superb, the production is superb, and the writing is extraordinary.
That's like 3 Gandhis.
Bring your picnic basket.
But now you can do it for less hardy souls. You can do it on 3 different nights, and there's a special prize for all 3 nights. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there you can see them 2 on an evening. And that's a regular play.
Chip away at it. Okay.
That's right. Now, also, you can come in the morning on Sunday and split and come back and see it on a weekday. You know what I'm saying?
You can plug and play.
All right.
It's like like binge TV for the stage.
Exactly.
So how many weeks are you running?
One guy. Actually, what's cool about it, too, is the one I play Gary in the final play, but there's 2 other actors. So we kind of carry the spirit of Gary through these plays.
It sounds like an amazing, amazing production. I want to thank you so much, Daryl Larson, great actor, good political commentary source.
Wow.
I want to thank you so much for being part of The Bigger Picture. We're going to take a short commercial segment, The Gary Plays. I want to direct you all, friends and neighbors, if you want to attend, what is this, 10 hours
you
of
don't
live
have to do it all at once.
You don't have
you
to do it all at once.
You can bring it up over several weekends.
It can be bingey or it can be non-bingey. The choice, friends and neighbors, is yours. Go and check it out, openfist.org. Just a reminder that our phone lines are open, 866-870-5752. Otherwise known as 866-870-KRLA. Let's